Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Johnita Stanton. We have Reginald Perriman and Shaka Williams. We are Tesari. This is the There's Something About Real Estate podcast where we talk all things real estate. And tonight we have with us Mr. Marlon Williams.
Bruh.
Junior.
Marlon Davis.
Jr. Davis Jr. What up, bro? I mean, you act like I just shot a person. Was that a horrific
offense?
We need
to start over.
My bad. Are you on the mama's side?
Dad's side. That's how we...
No,
but
we on the
guess
mama's
about
side.
Guess what's about to happen. You're going to introduce yourself properly, and it's okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
My bad.
Marlon Davis with Kingston Property Advisors.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Jesus. All right. So what up, though? How we like to get started around here?
What up, though?
What up, though?
And tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into property management.
Yes. So I actually got my start with Legacy Park Realty. I started out as an ISA.
That's y'all, ain't it?
I know them.
Shout out to Legacy Park. I started out as an ISA, and it opened up a lot of doors to work with investors. So I kind of just rode the wave, right? So if you take real estate and construction, which is, you know, my passion, construction, that's what I really like to do. So if you take real estate and construction, they have a baby, property management. That's how I able to do both, help my clients on the buyer, seller side, and then, like, you know, the rehabs and everything like that. And then during the pandemic, when we were all kind of struggling with the tenancy acceptance thing, I started the squatter removal service.
Okay, because we're going to talk a lot about that in particular.
Yes.
How to get these people that likes to lay claim to other
cannot
people's property.
Stay.
Yeah, I'm curious about
property.
This one.
Then they don't want to pay.
They do get
I do any of that kind of stuff.
Go ahead. I'm all ears. I'm
you say they
listen.
Do get
oh, okay. I'm trying to get, see how they get the squatters out.
Oh, yeah.
So, but we do need a little bit of history because there was a time where squatters did have rights, but then that changed to where squatters supposedly no longer have rights. Squatters' rights?
Yeah, no, term. Squatters. I mean, it makes sense, but where did it come from? Like,
that's a good question. Yeah. I'm glad I got Google sitting right here.
It's an old English word.
So technically, there is no such thing as squatter rights.
Okay.
They don't exist.
Yeah, yeah. No, okay. Right. Yeah.
Well, it's more like ordinances put into place by urban cities, Detroit, Pontiac, New York, Baltimore,
Chicago,
stuff you see like Chicago, where you have these like risks with the police assuming liability.
Yeah.
Right. They don't want another. Mike Brown, Trayvon Martin, you know what I'm saying? Like, so places where the liability for the law enforcement to be like, oh, no, you can't be here.
Yeah.
If they make that decision and by some miracle, you know, if it's a squatter, walk like a duck, quack like a duck, you know.
Okay.
But in that one situation, if they're wrong, now they're liable.
Okay.
And, right. You know, they can get in trouble.
And several years ago, Detroit used to, the police would show up and be like, you got to go to court.
Yep.
So they changed that because squatters, that became a huge problem. And now they're like, okay, you can handle this or we can assist, right? So that's where the change. And it happened, what, like 6-7 years
ago?
Yeah,
2017, I think.
Yeah, they used
except
to have
in
rights.
The city of Detroit, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Elijah's question. A squatter, by definition, is a person who unlawfully occupies an uninhabited building or unused land.
I want to add to that.
A settler with no legal title to the land occupied.
They have to also forcibly gain entry. So they have to break into the property.
So they trespass.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Unlawfully.
Yeah. Unlawfully.
So people
occupied.
where they go wrong at, where they when they try to deal with a squatter, they call them a squatter. And call the police, say, oh, I have a squatter.
Yep.
Yeah.
The thing that you're supposed to say is I have an active breaking and entering. That is what is happening right now. You have a person criminally trespassing
that
on
makes
your property.
Sense. That makes sense.
That's just the gist of it. What stops it from being a breaking and entering is there's no one there. It's not, you know, it's an empty residence. breaking and entering is when someone lives there, right? So it's a criminal trespass.
Okay.
It's still a felony. So technically, they should be getting arrested, you know, versus a police officer coming up to you like, well, you know, it's civil. It's not. It's criminal.
Right.
You
know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we ain't about to go home and say something. We got somebody broke in our house. They sitting there. Now we got a squatter.
Nah, yeah, that's a whole different problem. Some people won't even want to call the police. Yeah, they see that happen. Nah, like that lady where they broke in her house and was having a party while she was out of town.
Yeah. And they honestly, it works better to not call them. It's sad, but. Yeah. In certain places, you are probably better off not calling.
Oh, I
police.
See where this is going.
I just feel like I got to get my lawyer on the phone real fast.
So, real estate law. You can't, if I have a client that lives here, like physically lives in Michigan, and someone is trespassing on their property, they can't stop you from gaining entry to your property. Nobody can stop you, not even a tenant that you have under contract. So there's ways for you legally to get inside your property at all times. You know, you can, the best way is filing a, notice. Sorry. Right. A notice, 7-day, 3-day, 14-day, whatever. So after this notice expires, that's the day that I'm coming to inspect, look around, do what I got to do. You know, even if you're selling, taking pictures, whatever you got to do.
What about that mail?
Then after that notice denies you entry. That could be a problem. So
what about the U.S. mail thing? If they get mail coming to the property,
so that falls in established in Tennessee. So that's how squatters who know what they're doing. So some people who are squatters are they're professional squatters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Like they are like Reggie when it comes to like real estate. You know what I'm saying? Like this is the job. This is what they do. They're very.
You still get them out.
Because they not a squatter no more. So now they just changed. So once they start getting mail, they're not a squatter no more.
Not even mail. Fraud, though. Mail. You can beat the mail if they put a couch, toothbrush, couple things hung up in the closet. There's certain things that. Establishes tendency that shows you've been there.
Right. Yeah. Especially if they got you. So if they got utilities on legally, but what if they got them on illegally?
That will help you.
That will?
That helps you in the removal process. So if they do have it, the DTE in their name, the water, that looks bad on you.
Yeah.
If you do see, there's certain things that the police will jump in and assist you.
Right.
If they still keep the point of entry noticeable, like the broken window or the door that they pried open, that will help you. Illegal electrical setups, water, you know, anything that doesn't belong will help the situation.
So I'm reading something online where it basically talks about like the steps of action that you're supposed to take, giving the squatter trespass warning and contacting authorities. So it's basically saying to, you know, try to be civil, try to have a conversation, let them know you're the owner, they're not welcome. And then when it talks about contacting the authorities, it says under Michigan law, trespassers are not considered tenants. You may perform a self-help eviction. So I think that's something that has changed more recently to where that wasn't like a thing. So changing the locks, turning off utilities, removing their personal belongings. So.
That's where he.
And let's make this clear because some landlords, when you have a legal tenant, we still got some landlords that try to do the self-help eviction.
Correct.
And you gotta be careful because some people even got shot on both sides of that. So
yes.
We want to make this clear. If you have a tenant, this don't apply to your tenant that you had a lease with.
That's not paying no more.
Or a verbal agreement.
I'm actually glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
So I get a lot of people that call me, which is why I do evictions now.
Right.
So we do everything tenancy acceptance, right? So evictions, squatter removal. I've helped people with probate situations, land contracts that didn't work out, so anything, tenancy or severance.
Right.
Landlords always call me because they got a guy in the property that's been there for like a year.
Right.
He ain't paying rent. He not answering the phone. He getting violent when he comes. Well, sir, he's your tenant. You know?
Yeah.
He's not a squatter.
Okay.
There's no time frame of when, even after the lease.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people, the whole problem is they don't understand, like, the laws of it. Like, what is what, who is who, where is where.
Right.
Legally binding contract, written or verbal.
Right.
It's still the person.
Wait, hold on. I got to stop you. Hold on, man, because this is important. This is why y'all hire somebody that's licensed. Some of y'all got property managers that are not licensed.
Say it again.
Hire a property manager that's licensed that know the law. Some of y'all, especially the out-of-state investors, they be going to get people that don't know the law, that don't know the rules. Even if they don't have a license, they should at least went to school for it. You know what I'm saying?
But some people, not just licensed, somebody who know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, that's what I'm
licensed
saying.
Licensed and know what they're doing, because you got a lot of licensed people that don't know what the hell they're doing.
Well, right. In Michigan, in order to own a property management company, you need to be brokered.
Right.
So brokered, and if you're going to deal with certain stuff like this, I would say have an attorney.
Right.
So to be completely honest with you, an agent... average person is anybody could do what I do. You know what I'm saying? It just takes having the right pieces. I would say a lawyer is your best friend in these situations.
Right.
Mm. We got somebody who don't care for those. So why do you feel like
nah? So
see, don't care about lawyers.
No, yeah. See here go the issue.
Lawyers have lawyers.
Hold on. Here go the issue.
I like that.
No, bars. Listen to this. They keep saying you can't not put a blanket statement. I definitely care about lawyers or attorneys. I'm just saying you don't need attorneys and title. No, but she, I know what she was talking about. I know when I'm being shot at. I know when I'm somebody taking shots at me.
Yeah, no, honestly, I would. That's not true. So lawyers are very, very important. Lawyers protect everything
in certain situations. And maybe in his, they might.
Especially in my situation. Right. We have a lawyer that I'm partnering with that guides us step by step property, you know, when we can go in, when we can't, what we can do, what we can't do.
Yeah.
There, and like you said, there are certain situations nobody can stop an owner from claiming their property. They're not supposed to be there. So if I have an owner that is gutsy enough to want to go to his property and we're going to claim his property, that's exactly what we're going to do.
Okay.
All right. You said that with like no hold bars.
Yeah, no.
All right.
I'm 60 and I'm
from. Where you say, Pontiac?
Yeah, Mayweather.
Where you, from?
He from Pontiac.
You from Pontiac? Mm-hmm. You representing,
yes,
huh?
Yes, yes, sir. I've done 60 squad removal system pandemic successfully.
Wow.
Right.
That's a lot. And I've done a lot of evictions, probably like 10 to 20 per month right now.
Damn, you got him out with the mask on and everything.
Well, now I've done so many that it's no longer a challenge.
Yes.
So when I started this, it was just all of us losing money, and we got really tired of it. We getting tired of the deals being broken because of the squatters.
Right.
Rent not getting paid. You know, like, we were all losing money. So I actually hired a security team to protect me while I went to go confront the squatters, figure out what's going on. That turned into them performing the job very well.
But he like the guy on Cheaters when security and the camera crew.
Oh, you got the camera crew.
Wait a minute. This is getting deep.
You got to get
my
the camera crew.
My guys wear GoPros to protect.
Yeah.
Because people might say we hit them or touched them.
Yeah.
So I
You know they got them Ray-Bans now, too.
I actually invested into that because somebody called the police and said we beat them up.
Yeah.
Obviously, it wasn't believable. No marks, no nothing.
Yeah,
these guys are the size of linebackers in the NFL. If they touch you, you're gonna notice it. You know?
So, okay.
But since then, probably like our fifth removal, we have GoPros.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been thinking about buying one of those.
Man, this is getting better as we talk. So I want to ask you, right? Let's hold off. So on the tenant side, you know, of course, you get the bailiff, you go to court, and all that, you get your writ. So let's talk about squatters for a minute. So you have a house, you just brought it, it's vacant. The next day you go there and it's a squatter in there, right? What's your first step?
So I want to go back a little bit.
All right.
So the first step before that step should have been registering it vacant immediately.
Right.
Whenever you buy a property, just go for property managers, realtors, wholesalers. You don't want your deal messed up. You don't want what you got going on messed up. Register it vacant.
Right.
Problem is, investors hear that inspection word, because it does come with an inspection.
Right.
But it's not like an inspection where they're coming around looking to see what you got to fix and all that. This is just a person coming in, sticking their head in, okay, it's vacant.
Right.
We're going to register it vacant now. So that's the first part. That's what you want to do. So once you do come and find that person in the house, it's a sit in your car, call the police in the heat, watch them get arrested, it's over with.
Right.
Is it still key, though, that you, when you make that call, you do want to make sure you call them a trespasser? Because it sounds like the police kind of use semantics as to whether or not they're going to come or not.
The verbiage squatter immediately, it changes the urgency.
Yeah.
Of the, you know. So if I call the police and I say, yeah, man, I got a squatter in my house, they're like, oh, no, the 100th one this week, you know, and they're going to take their time. You're going to be sitting outside the house for 2.5 hours. If you say I have an active breaking and entering in my property, though.
Yeah. I mean, because that's not true. That's actually correct, right? If somebody is in my house and I didn't authorize it, it's active breaking and entering. Okay.
Yeah. It's a trespass. Yeah.
Then they're in the refrigerator and everything. They active. Right? Yeah. Then you get a refrigerator. Can you keep the refrigerator if they break? No, I'm just the police come keep. Well, I got a refrigerator.
And that's the honest to God sauce of how I'm able to do what I do. Okay. Nobody ever wants to register the property vacant. Yeah. So I tell investors all the time, it's either spend $100 with the city or $2,500 with me.
Yeah. Well, let's make that clear. Every city, the fee is different, and every city has a different process.
Correct, correct. In Detroit specifically, it's $100.
No, so check with your local municipality on the fees.
Yes.
But they should be nominal.
But they're not bank-breaking at all.
No.
And it takes, you can do it online.
You guys just jump in.
First part is done online. And what I suggest is if you're in a high, like, risk area, when you do it online and you're waiting for your inspection, take a couple pictures. Do a video. If you have an iPhone, a date, time, everything is right there to prove that it's empty.
Some of the cities you've been in.
Like Detroit, Pontiac, Flint, which I've never
been to. Any, like, West Bloomfield, anywhere like that or anything like that?
I had one in West Bloomfield.
Oh, really?
Literally one. And it ended up being a tenant.
Oh.
So technically yes, technically no, because it was a property that was passed down to someone who had nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay.
And then when they got there, it was like, oh my God, someone's in my house. And then when I come find out, like, we did our digging, he had a verbal agreement with the grandfather, which is a lease. It's a legally binding contract. Yeah. So she had she assumed that.
Okay.
So do you get people lying to you saying, oh, it's a squatter, but really it was a tenant?
Oh, I get a lot. That's why we started doing evictions.
Okay.
Because I was like, man, all this business coming in, you know, I got to be able to do something. But the lawyer that I'm partnering with, he specializes in that.
Okay.
And he can actually expedite certain situations.
Right.
Like a squatter is, if there's a situation where they force you to evict a squatter, there's ways that you can expedite it.
Right.
We specialize in that. It's a 7-day notice. And it's basically the property at risk.
Okay.
So if the property's at risk in any way, that causes for an emergency eviction.
Okay.
Well, if the condition of the property is not habitable, like you're just like, hey, the basement flooded and they in my house, can he?
There's a lot. That helps you.
Okay.
If the property is not livable, if the conditions are inhumane or dangerous, that will help you.
What about weather-wise? Is it any time where you can't do it? Like, say, if it's negative something outside. Like, I mean, besides you just being a good person, you know.
I mean, you asking like morals or?
Yeah, moral. I mean, like, they still can't turn your stuff off after a certain period, you know, in the year. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing.
They do now.
You know how
it is.
They do. I had a tenant call me the other day and thought her furnace was out. She just needed to pay her
well,
DT.
Well, right now it's not time, but I think when it gets to a certain temperature, they will do it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, though. That used to be, I didn't know if that was real or not.
No, it was real, man. The way I grew up, trust me.
There's too many programs out there for you to not get help, you know.
Just curious. Like, I mean, because it's really up to y'all discretion if you're gonna put somebody out in a -2 degrees. Right?
We're human. We are, and obviously the investors, the clients, they're human too.
Then
you have some people who are just good people in bad situations, and then you have some people who have nothing to live for. No, you know, we've seen everything. I've seen everything that you could think of doing what I do.
Okay.
What about the people that have a fake lease?
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, I know.
So that's my favorite one. I get those. Those are what you call a professional squatter.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Right.
But the police, the detectives, they've seen so much of this.
Right.
You know, if the signature or the person on the lease doesn't match the owner or the property manager.
Right.
And we don't know who you are. You know, people do that all the time. Because these are my favorite ones. You got to evict me.
Yeah.
You know? So when I come to the property, I always come alone first.
Right.
instead of coming with my security and everything, it looks very intimidating. You know, they're very intimidating. So I try to come, speak, talk, and I feel out the temperature of the person inside the house. Some people just off rip. You already know. There's nothing to talk about. And well, what I feel bad about putting him out in the winter.
Get out the car.
You know, it just depends on who you're dealing with. It's by case.
Right.
So I'm going to tell y'all something that's crazy to me. So, and why I wanted to bring him on the show, because he is doing, so it's not just about, so squatters is a big part, the people that's not supposed to be there, but it's also, he can get people out that's legally can be there. Right. So like I had one. I had one that's like they really were a squatter.
Right.
Yeah.
But he established Tennessee.
Yeah, but they established Tennessee. Yeah. So, but he was able to get, I ain't gonna lie, for a minute, I'm like, man, I don't think this is gonna work.
Right.
I felt like I was an investor.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of highs and lows, like, oh, everything about to be good. Mm-hmm. Nah, it ain't. No. But he kept saying, like, nah, they're getting out. You know what I mean? The day might have changed, like, by a day.
One day.
A day, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But which was cool. Mm-hmm. But even like he had a situation recently with a land contract.
Right.
I don't want you to go too much into detail about it. But
No, look, if they want to know the sauce, they gotta watch the podcast,
Hold on, I'm gonna describe the scenario. So there's a land contract with an investor out of the country.
Right.
And so they calling, so they talking to him and they talking to me. And they're explaining it to me and I'm like, shit, you got a land contract, you got to foreclose on this property.
Forfeiture, right.
Yeah, you're not about to, this is not an eviction. They keep talking like this person is a tenant, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm like, at that point, once I hear, because we, I'm thinking about listing the property.
Right.
Right. After I hear that it's a land contract, it's nothing to talk about until you get the property back, right?
Right.
So he like, yeah, I'll figure it out. I'll put a rabbit out of the hat, right? And I'm talking to somebody and I'm like, he in over his head right here.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he called me back not even 2 weeks later and he got this person to agree.
Yeah.
To sign their rights over and move the hell out. And I'm like, man, so.
It took like 4 weeks to do all together. From the time I did the contract with the owners to the time that they like packed and left.
So did you do cash for keys or deed in lieu or something?
No, I don't. So the only time I will ever consider doing the cash for keys if there's children involved.
Right. Okay.
But it was children involved in this one.
It's not too many of you out there, is it? Like, I haven't heard of it.
The service is very rare.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
The service is very rare. Right. I haven't met, there's a lot of people now that try to do it.
Yeah.
They're not as good.
The failure rate is probably high.
Very. Because they don't, it takes. So it's a lot more than people think that, like, it's just me showing up with big security guys threatening people, getting them out. That does not work. It's 2023. So
it's. They think you kick door. Like,
literally.
You just
literally. It's so comical.
You know what everybody thinking? Like, I can do what he's doing because I'm already like, man, ain't nobody about to be squatting out of my house.
You get people like that. And those are the ones they call me because they like, look, it's either prison. or like, so that's what makes what I do so easy.
Okay.
So the owner, obviously, there's going to be, if somebody's squatting your stuff, you losing money, there's going to be an emotional response to that.
Right.
The emotional response is going to cause an emotional response from the person in the house. They might even have left if.
Split second decision across your whole
life.
It's
just all, so we come in, we have no personal ties to anything. We have no personal ties to this person, the owner, so it's easier. A lot of the things that we like to do ends in negotiation.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
So one of my favorite people, they told me, like, a successful business transaction, all sides have to win.
Yeah.
So we make it so that it's lucrative for this person to cooperate, leave. Okay. I have a lot of things in play now for doing this for so long now.
Yeah.
For every program in every city, DHS, Common Ground, the Lighthouse in every city, everything. So you help them find
housing and assistance and all of that.
Yes. He don't just go in necessarily and say, get out and throw shit out.
No, I give you a choice. I can offer you a lot of help. I can even, at best, the best thing that I've ever been able to do, there's a program through CHS.
Okay.
And they take people in crisis situations. You have to be homeless.
Right.
If you're a squatter, you're homeless.
Right.
If you're a woman with children, you can expedite it. It's an emergency. Okay. And I can get your rent paid from 6 months to a year through them.
Right.
So they'll pay people like me or other investors to house people at below market rate.
Okay.
And then once they get their voucher, after like the 6 months to a year,
right.
Now you can charge what the house is worth.
Right. Oh, that's dope.
Mm.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of programs.
Man. Yeah.
And it's sad because there's so much help out there. It's just that people don't know where to get it.
Right.
So I made it my job to, obviously, I don't want to go to war over every property.
Right.
So we wanted, we came in and we are offering help now.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm.
All right. So let's do a quick step-by-step run through of the process.
Mm-hmm.
So we can be very cohesive and linear in this conversation.
This is why I want to say something too. This is why, like, I be having investors. They be having properties in Detroit. I only paid $20,000-$30,000 for it, and they be leaving it vacant for a year, 2 years, and all that. And I'll be like, you know, you got a squatter in there. Oh, I didn't know.
You talking about me?
I ain't been.
No.
Well,
That's the biggest. If I could just, I'm so glad you said that because I almost forgot. That is the biggest problem and why
right.
everybody in the city is dealing with the problem they're dealing with.
Right.
So it's also some pushback politically, like, from the city of Detroit as well.
Right.
Because you got all these people from all over the globe
yeah.
buying in Detroit. And they just, you know, it just sits there when they want to make money off of it. They want you to follow the process.
Yeah.
So this is the pushback that you get from the police. They're like, okay, if you want us to get your squatter out,
right.
follow the process. Register it vacant.
Right.
Do everything correct. Pay your taxes. Do it, you know.
Right.
And that is how you get their cooperation. If you don't want to hire Marlon, if you want to call Marlon, follow the process.
Right.
That's really it. But that's their way of... When you see them pop up, it's not just the whole like liability thing. It's also
right.
holding the investors accountable,
okay. which I think is crazy. I mean, I understand some of it, but
because
I feel like that's my house. You got if I'm cutting the grass, and I'm paying my taxes,
then
who are you to tell me that I got to do something with the house? Maybe I ain't got around to it. You know what I mean? Like that's just
I'm saying
Hazel Park or East Point or anything like that. Yeah. That is
Hazel Park is the word.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
What's the process?
process
so,
to do
okay,
what?
Okay, so give me a scenario because there's many.
Like to remove someone trespassing on your property.
So a squatter, someone who is trespassing, you know, forcibly gain entry in order to occupy the property. That is, so first things first, like what you said, when you confront them, you want to obviously verbally let them know that they're trespassing. Give them an opportunity to leave themselves. If that does not work, you contact the police. When you contact the police, you do not want to use the word squatter. You want to say you have an active breaking and entering. From there, and this is the process without me. This is the process that you could do on your own without me. It's very extensive. It takes a while, but you do not need my assistance to do it. So. Once the police come there, they're going to investigate. They're going to go through the property. They're going to take the person's identification. And there's a couple things that can happen when they're in there. You want or you need to happen. If they can prove that they are a squatter, they still might hit you with but we can't make them leave. But with that, what you want them to do is give them a trespassing ticket. That
okay.
allows you to do an expedition on the eviction. It makes it go faster.
Okay.
So you want to have all your ducks in a row when you call the police. You want to be able to present where they entered at. You want to have all of your paperwork, everything,
right.
the deed, the stamped deed.
Right.
You want to have any property management contracts in play. If you're the property manager and you catch them, you want to have just a timeline. It's aggressive. You want to have a timeline of everything that you can prove.
Right.
From there, you're going to go to whatever precinct the property's in, whether it's 3rd, 9th, 12th, wherever you are, and you're going to present all of the paperwork to them.
Right.
You're going to be assigned a detective, and now it's under investigation.
Right.
My process is a little different.
That's so what we was getting to.
My process, I can't give away too much. If you would like to know how it works,
right?
Obviously, you have to book us. You have to book the service.
Okay,
it's well worth it. Okay. I never had a squatter removal go past 30 days.
Okay,
because you got to understand. So I hear what you were asking, but every scenario is different. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so you can't. It's not a straight up and down process.
So if the police get there and they got their bedroom,
and it also depends. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it also depends on what officer you deal with too. There's some seasoned people who cannot stand squatters.
Right.
And a lot of people need to know this. Your local law enforcement and your local firefighters do real estate. They're real estate investors.
Yeah.
The fire marshal, the chief, he's a broker.
Right.
You know, a lot of the detectives own property in Detroit and they're real estate investors.
Yeah. Some of them might be, that might
you
be
know,
the street.
So it depends on what. You might get a green, blue shirt.
Yeah,
who don't know what's going? You know, he don't know what's a couple days in. You know, so it really it's so different. Every property is so different. I've never had it go the same out of 60 properties.
Right. So the scenario where they've been squatting, you haven't seen a property in a couple of weeks, but you get there and they got the bedroom set, furniture, utilities on, and all of that. Is the process the exact same or?
Not necessarily. Okay. So now Detroit has a sergeant.
Okay.
That's ahead of like a squatter removal department. They do have a squatter unit.
Okay.
Still in the works.
Right.
It used to be a very, very resourceful lady, Sergeant Gilbert, but she's no longer at that position and trying to fill it right now.
Right.
So, but there is a whole department, like, you know, it's really coordinated with the sergeant and the neighborhood police, whoever the neighborhood police officer is.
Okay.
So like the precinct for that area.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm understanding, so speaking with a few eviction attorneys, they're telling me, like, with the eviction process, they feel like the judges are too lenient with the tenants.
Yes.
And one of the reason being, because they're saying their experience with 36 District Court is completely different than when they go to the suburbs. Suburbs is strictly whatever the lease say and whatever paperwork say.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying they believe some of the judges don't necessarily want to do all these evictions because it looked bad under their name. They don't want to be the name that threw everybody out on the street when it comes to re-elections and that type of thing.
I mean,
they feel like these are possible voters.
Yeah.
They putting out.
Of course. I will admit, squatter removal and evictions are harder in the city of Detroit.
Okay.
If I do I did any of these things in Oakland County, it would take a fraction of the time.
Right.
The police officers would probably even remove them themselves.
Right.
It's a big difference.
Right. Do you think
but I
that
feel like,
really...
don't you think that's a double-edged sword, though, when you're dealing with, like, the city and, like, the crisis that it's in sometimes with, like, people who have addictions and mental illness and all those things, and then we kind of say, oh, you know, we should police our area or have, you know, police respond in a certain type of way or court respond in a certain type of way, but then when it becomes that legal contract that somebody's squatting in my or not paying a lease, or we got to do an eviction now. So I don't know. I heard some of the reasons why maybe it may be some push or resistance on just evicting so fast.
Mm.
But they would get accused of some of those things too if they pulled the trigger faster.
Well,
in this area,
it's poverty in Detroit.
Right.
I'm not going to say that they give them pushback or they make it harder. They just give the tenant an opportunity to get caught up. And I'm glad you brought that up, too, because that's the difference between a 7-day notice and a 30-day notice.
Yeah, exactly.
7-day notice is, okay, there's a break in a contract.
Right.
That means that, and it's not just rent either. It could be a person smoking if you told them no smoking. It could be pets in
they
there if you said no pets.
They move more people in and what's on the lease, all of that.
7-day means there's a breach in a contract. 9 out of 10 people are filing that for non-payment.
Right.
So when you're an investor, you kind of like in a rock and a hard place in Detroit when it comes to that. So you have a decision to make when you file for an eviction.
Right.
Am I going to do the 7-day notice or am I going to do 30-day? 30 days, faster.
Mm-hmm.
30-day notice, the wait time to file your summons and complaint is longer.
Right.
But the process is shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So 30 days is just, I want to claim my property. I don't need an excuse. We live in Michigan.
Right.
I don't need an excuse. I could want to live there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want them there. And they'll give them the appropriate time to leave.
I don't want no money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the key.
It's more of a demand for possession versus a break in the contract. Yeah. Right. Yes.
So if you want the money,
yeah,
that's when you open in that door for them to get time frames and programs that they got to apply for. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it go slow. Right. So if it really, once you make the decision, once you figure out that they're a bad tenant or this is going to be a repetitive thing, you just got to let it go.
Yeah,
like, right. You got to let what they owe you go. It was a bad decision. It was a bad. And, you know, tenancy selection when you're doing property management is the most important thing. It's not the construction. It's literally the tenant that you're going to have in the house, because this is how you're making your money on your investment.
Right. So I always say, like, it's a fine line between rewarding failure and helping people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like part of our issues in the city versus the suburbs, because if you're too lenient to one party, it creates an imbalance. So it makes people not necessarily respect that I'm a tenant. If I can't pay, we have all these programs you mentioned, I can just go get help,
mm-hmm.
right? And there are so many programs out there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's help for the people that need help, but it's so wide open for people that's abusing the system, mm-hmm. too. And that creates an impact on the market. It makes people that want to invest not want to invest. It backs up the court system. So it has to be some balance made there.
1,000%. So right now they recommend that because, you know, so when I do my job,
right.
I have an image to uphold. I have to be a bulldog.
Right. Right.
So I'm the bulldog. Some police officers, they really, really like me. They love what I do.
Right.
Some of them, you know, we gotta hold them accountable, too, because they have a job to do. Right.
Right.
So I might have to bark a little bit and, you know, I might have to make some stuff happen.
Right.
Make it more of a priority for them to work.
Right.
In that process, you know, I also explained to them, I'm like, look, man, you see, the reason why Detroit is thriving is because of us, the investors.
Right.
The investors fixing up the properties, getting more taxes. You have 3,000 more police officers now because of all of this motion that we're bringing.
Right.
So in a minute, the investors are going to say, you know what? I'm done with Detroit because it's happening right now.
It's happening right now.
But what they recommend that we do is be active at the board meetings. Make our voices heard.
Right.
Tell them what they can do to make it better for us, you know.
Right.
And a lot of people, it's very unfortunate because a lot of people would just kind of be like, oh, I'm not doing that.
But yeah, that's the answer. And then you got to think the other part of that, a lot of the investors aren't even here, live in the state to attend a board. Yeah, or the countries to attend a board meeting. So their input is mute.
If they have representatives and property managers and people who can show up for that. But I think that's a really good point because a lot of times if I'm selling real estate to an individual who wants to live in a city, and especially in the areas who are not like our traditionally historic grand spaces,
right?
I do have to point out, well, there is change. If you look throughout the neighborhood, you see less vacancies, you see more homes populated, and as more people come in, buy the properties, invest, fix them up, this area is just going to be more and more reestablished.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't be a sleazeball landlord.
Man. Yeah, but I think that's the issue. They automatically assume that so you don't get the grace that the tenant gets as the investor.
Well, first of all, they assume every landlord is rich.
Right.
Then they assume you're a sleazeball.
One or the other,
even
right?
if your property's up to code.
Even the tenants. I run into that all the time. And me being a property manager, obviously I work with some owners who are loaded and they're very aggressive and, you know, they invest. And I got some people who are just everyday people who are just knowledgeable about real estate. They're getting going or properties left to them.
Right.
You know, it's bad on both ends. It's bad.
Right.
So you're always going to get, I hate saying it. I don't like saying it, but you're 9 out of 10 gonna get the short end of the stick as the investor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got a bonus question before we wrap it up. So let's talk about a situation where there's a lease in place with the tenant, but then the tenant decides to sublet the place.
Mm-hmm.
And with, you know, that's against the lease.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be doing that. But then that tenant collects the rent from the subtenants, but then does not pay the rents.
The Airbnb. Story.
This is about 30% of my calls.
Does not pay the rent.
Yeah.
This is about 30% of my calls.
Really?
So, yeah, yeah. This happens a lot. So it's an eviction. They're not a squatter. So if there's a lot of, there's a thousand scenarios that you can kind of like, a cousin that won't leave.
Yeah,
or, you
the ex-boyfriend.
Know, you, whenever that person got permission to be there and they exceed a certain amount of days, like after 30 days, it's done.
So mm-hmm. what about it's that? Done. Everybody heard about that Airbnb situation. Was that in
Florida?
Yes.
Florida?
A man sitting outside his house?
Oh, no. Yeah, you talking about that
yes.
one.
If you do Airbnb, you should not offer anybody an option to
rent it out for
30 days.
He rented it to somebody else who didn't pay rent, and they ended up renting it out as an Airbnb. So, and they're collecting the funds from the Airbnb and still not paying the dude who owns the property.
Oh,
he's
I haven't
sleeping
heard
outside
this
in a camper.
I haven't heard this one. Yeah. There was a lady that I was desperately trying to get in touch with. I really wanted to do hers for free.
Yeah.
She had a squatter living in her house with her.
I heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wanted this one. I wanted to take this one.
Yeah, that one.
But I think there was like an attorney or something helping her. But I desperately wanted to do this.
Yeah, it was a lady. The squatter was a lady that was living in her house in the base. Was it the base? No, she just lived in her house. Like, walked around.
It was a guy upstairs or something. Like, it was something. It was something crazy.
It's been a couple. It's one where the lady was renting a room to a lady and she ended up just staying.
That's probably the one I'm talking about. Because
she was doing like an Airbnb. She came home and the lady was still there, but she was doing an Airbnb with her primary residence while she was out on vacation and came back and the lady wouldn't leave.
So, have you did those Airbnbs yet? I mean, because I know.
I had one.
I've been nervous about
it. I had one. It was easy though. It was an Airbnb. It was no one that rented it out or stayed there. It was just an Airbnb. They didn't know it and they tried to take it over.
Oh, okay.
So like in that situation, the fact that it was listed, multiple pictures of it being empty,
about Airbnb. You know, that's like, a whole nother show.
That was pretty easy. But to answer your question, I get those calls all the time. Like, you know, a guy I put out. The tenant will originally leave and his roommate won't leave, or they rented it out to someone before they left and now this person won't leave.
Yeah.
It's not a squatter, it's a tenant now because they got permission from. So the original tenant may have broke their lease because a lot of people have that in their lease, no sublease.
Right.
If it's not,
right,
you got an even bigger problem, you know? Yeah. But. It's an eviction both ways.
Because you got to name it. You got to do the eviction. The complaint is against the individual who's on a lease and other occupants, right?
All occupants. I always put all occupants for any, even if it's even if it's a tenant that's been all occupants, cousin,
kids,
brother,
greasy
friend down the street, squatter waiting on her to leave.
Right, but I want to just answer that. So that was my scenario, right there, which I just described. And I didn't have to wait for the eviction. So that's what I'm saying. So
I want to. So those are actually really easy to do, because I promise you, if you hire me to do it, the tenant, the original tenant, will come to the house and get that person out for you. Because I use let's just say that they are liable.
Yeah.
The way that we file the eviction, we come after the tenant,
right?
And they're going to assume everything, every dollar that the person is in the house.
Yeah.
Because they're at fault now. So
right.
Every month that it take me to evict this person, I'm not getting paid rent.
Right.
It's going on their tab. And so once they realize
water bill, everything.
They come back like, look, man, you got you know, a lot of those don't make it to the eviction process, but those, once we hit them with the paperwork,
I had that, the subletting issue, but I just rented to those people. They're still there. They're wonderful tenants. Oh, they pay on time. Mm-hmm. They pay a little early.
They're better than the first tenant.
That happens. Yeah. I had squatters turn into tenants for some of the people.
I told them, I said, do not allow this person access to
this property. It was opportunity at first. They're like, all right, we can do it.
He tried to do that with me, but at that point, I'm like, no.
I offered a sweat equity situation with the gentleman. He was a contractor.
So I don't believe in the sweat equity no more.
So let me say this. I want to ask this too. So you know, when people buy properties from the tax sale from the county, it says if there's an occupant in a home, you can't treat them like a squatter. You have to go through the eviction process after you receive the deed. So with that being said, from your understanding of the law, because they say you have to contact legal counsel and go through the eviction process.
Correct.
Even if whether it was the previous owner, a tenant, or a squatter in there, at the time you close, from your standpoint, is that the case? Because the county is just saying, whoever's there, we don't know anything about it. All the liability is on the purchaser.
It is.
So, okay.
It is.
All right.
We don't like it. So what I want to start doing, and what I introduced the ideas to a few people who have been buying housing in these situations.
Right.
So it's very unfair for you as a person to buy a home.
Right.
Which was a pretty big investment, correct?
Right.
And then have to add on the legal fees to remove this person.
Right.
Technically, the person who sold your house, which is the county, should be handling that. So what we want to start doing is doing like little small civil suits with them and making them keep the property, like, you know, so that should be their job. That they should be making sure that the property is empty.
Or at least until you escrow, get the property. Maybe they had like some escrow fees.
Just they
like,
ain't doing
yes. Because even the problem is, yes, it's because it's always 9 out of 10 is the person who they took the property from that's inside of the house. Yeah. So you have to evict them at that point.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like always. That.
That's why they sell it as is.
Well, that's one of the ones where I would negotiate cash for keys.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, one more question real quick. Regular retail home that's on the market, I'm a landlord, I'm tired, there's a squatter in there, and I just want to sell it. The buyer says, I'm going to buy this property and assume the squatter. And there's no lease in place, or trespass, or whatever. Mm. No lease in place. Do the new owner have the same rights to remove that person? Is it the same process?
Let me ask one question. So when you say the same rights, like, what do you mean?
So I own the property, and I'm like, man, it's a squatter in here. I don't feel like dealing with this. I just want to sell it to Janita. So now I'm transferring all of my responsibility and everything over to her. She's assuming it. Mm-hmm. Can she come to you and say, hey, I have a squatter situation? Or would a court say, hey, you brought this knowing this person was in there, you technically have to do an eviction?
Correct. So they will. So if you buy it knowing that there's a squatter in it,
right,
you do have to do an eviction.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, what I will say,
demand for possession, that which
she's in 30 days.
Yeah, you can.
Demand
but,
for possession.
So the ideal situation is for me, the seller, to just say, come to you and say, hey, we got this situation. I'm selling it. Let me get the squatter out.
Yes.
It'll make it easier.
I'm a great resource for both sides.
Hold on. Buyers. I got to question that. Mm-hmm. How? So if it's a squatter in there, if this is a squatter, not a tenant that's coming over, mm-hmm. a holdover tenant, this is an actual squatter. Mm-hmm. So you still, this when you buy the house, it's still a squatter.
She assumed it. No, she assumed that.
You assumed it's still a squatter.
You assumed it with a squatter in it, but let's be honest.
But you're still a squatter.
As an ISA, I've been learning a lot about how long real estate transactions take to close and you get paid, right?
Right.
So they're going to have a tenancy established by the time you close. They're going to be your tenant.
Right.
Gotcha.
Now, one more question, though. I know you were. If I'm selling it to Janita, and can we both technically go on the paperwork or whatever the process say, I know we want to close this deal. She's willing to assume whatever. But to start the legal paperwork and process to get this person removed, can we just both have our names on it?
So that's a sticky one. So
okay.
I like to be a great resource for both sides.
Okay.
So if you have an aggressive seller,
right,
that will take care of the cost for me to remove this person,
right,
so that the buyer can assume the property, sure. I'm also a great resource for the buyers to confidently buy the house, knowing that I'm about to get them out for them.
Okay.
So if a buyer wants to buy it immediately with the squatter in it and waive everything and just close ASAP and hire me once they get the deed, that's what we can do.
Okay.
If you're the seller and you're in the middle of selling it and you get a squatter while you're selling it, or you're saying that the squatter was there already before you knew.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is an eviction situation.
Okay.
Unfortunately, because you were not aggressive when you found the squatter.
Okay.
You're like, oh, I got a squatter.
It's based on time.
Yeah. You have
he
to,
in order for you tenancy to, yeah, residency to, or whatever, they was able to get some utilities or something on and get mail there by that time.
I'll be honest with you.
That's still a good sales pitch that Marlon just did there, because it's the same way. Like, you know, I purchase properties knowing that I would have to quiet the title. But if I'm like, okay, well, we have a whole rehab process. It's going to take this long. If I go ahead and get my attorney in place now, by the time we're done and ready to hit the market, this mm-hmm. is going to, situation more than likely is going to be resolved.
Yes. A lot of people have me, because we're going to have to evict them 9 times out of 10.
Right.
I'm going to, like, if in that situation where the owner just completely let it go and they knew it was a squatter in there, I was like, right. whatever, we're going to have to evict them because we don't know how long they've been there.
Right.
I can't go there and be like, oh, yeah, you got to go, bucko. You know, and they'd be like, right. I've been here for 3 years. Like, you know, right. they're like, what? Right. So, yeah, that's going to be an eviction. I tell the buyers, when people come to me, they want to buy the property.
Right.
Buy it. Because they can't stop me from getting in it. Remember, yeah. I taught you that. Right. They can't stop me from getting in it. Buy right. it with confidence. And let's start the process now because it's already so extensive. We already got to wait 30 days to even file yeah. the summons and complaint. So right. I'll serve them, and then by the time it's time for court, you'll be the owner, you'll be good to go. We already, you know, you saved a good 2 months.
All right, there we go. All right,
so I would like to say that we are not attorneys. We do not give legal advice. This show is based on our opinions and experiences.
Correct. And call Marlon.
And call Marlon. Like, follow, subscribe.
Hold on. We got to find out where to find them.
I'm getting to it. Oh. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, because over there got you. You know what? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Where can we find you?
I'm on majority of social media, Facebook, Instagram, Marlon Davis, Kingston Property Advisors. Nowadays, if you just search it, will pop up. It'll pop up.
Praise the Lord.
You on MySpace?
it's been a good 15 years since I did MySpace.
15 years? You were like two? Minute.
No, I was like 15 when MySpace was like a thing. I'm 30 this year, so it's been a while. Oh, it's been a while.
Me too.
It was like two. Like, no, it's playing. Okay, that's a wrap, y'all. One day, one day, one day.